All right. Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing out there today? I got one person that's doing good. Jamie, is everybody all right out there? Everybody good? All right. There we go. Man, thank you, Norton's, for the parking lot and for the shade over here. Look at this crowd over here. That's awesome, man. Hey, it is my honor and privilege to introduce to you a guy that you already know and you've seen, but I want to just tell you a little bit more of his story. My brother and my friend Michael Battle is going to share with us today. I told him if we had a front row, I would be on it and cheering for him, so I'm going to sit here on the front row and make my own row that I'm going to sit on. But Michael is, he's been called to plant a church in Bessemer, Alabama. We're going to be partners with him in that. He's been here every week serving. You guys have seen him, but we wanted him to share from the Word today. And so it's my honor and privilege to introduce to you my brother, my friend that you already know, but now you know by name, Michael Battle. And so, Michael, come on up. I'm going to open us in a word of prayer and turn it over to him. Father, we just we love our friend and brother Michael. I'm just so excited just to hear from you through him. And just pray your blessings over him, blessings over us as we hear. I know it's his prayer, it's mine as well, that if someone here doesn't know you today, that today would be the day of salvation. And Father, if we do know you, that when we leave this place, that we could say we've just drawn closer to you in intimacy and fellowship with you, Jesus. And so all honor and glory to you. Be with my friend. Thank you for him, his heart, and his willingness to share with us more. I love this brother, and I'm so excited to see our church partner together, neither caring about the name on the shirt or the church, but just the family and the kingdom of God. We love you, and we pray your blessings over him and his ministry, those that you send his way in the days to come, that we can partner together to reach souls for the kingdom of God. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We thank and praise God for that. Amen. And our brother Keith and the Church at Southside family, it's like I say, we came together through a mutual friend. And a friend of mine, our friend, was like, Mike, I got someone you need to meet. And he told me about where he worked in the car lot and so on. And you need to go meet this guy. I missed him a time or two. We finally made it together. And as soon as I told him who sent me, he's like, oh, wow, come on, let's go. And that was the beginning of a great relationship. And I thank God it's not over with yet. Amen. You know, I thank and praise God again for this opportunity. I thank and praise God for the word that has gone forth here. Over the week, you know, Pastor Keith has given me liberty. But I also understand, even with that liberty, I want to kind of stay the road also. And one thing that he's been in the book of Ephesians. And I love it. You know, Pastor Keith was talking about how we are God's workmanship. To do his good pleasure. And I thank and praise God that I am that. You are that. We were created by God for his good pleasure. We are his workmanship. And Brother Freddie last week began to talk about how we're a family. But one thing that stood out with me and what he talked about is how we have power. Amen. And that is so very true. We have power. And so I want to talk to you. I'm going to stay in Ephesians also. We're going to finish up chapter 2 of Ephesians. And we're going to start at the 19th verse. It says, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole building is fit together and grows into a holy temple. And in him, you two are being built together into a dwelling place for God in his spirit. Amen. I like this. I like this. It kind of does what I do. I'm a carpenter by trade. So I build. So we get to talk about a cornerstone and things of buildings and so on. It kind of gets me excited because that's what I do. I love it. I love taking something that's either not there and bringing it into, bringing that dream alive, or taking something that's there, tearing it down, bringing it back, and making it better than what it was. That's just, I guess that's in my nature. Well, in this scripture here, everything that has been talked about, us being his workmanship, us being the family, Freddie began to talk about the enmity that was between us and God, and how Jesus took that away. He took all the anger, all the weight of sin that was on us. He took all of that away. Amen. But what I like too, he was saying that in my scripture, the scripture that I read, that Jesus is that chief cornerstone. Now, Paul did not just write this and leave him as the cornerstone all by himself. He said, I'm going to back this up, and this is backed up through two groups of people, the prophets and the apostles. And I found that very interesting. So I started going back through and just doing research, and I'm not going to read all the different prophecies that the prophets talked about with Jesus being this foundation and the foundational work that God used, because there's 40 to 60 some odd prophecies that God that talks about Jesus in the Old Testament. But what we are going to do, we're going to pick out a few just to kind of prove a point, and then go down and show how the apostles not only approved, but they just brought it all together in what we have because of it. Amen. So if we're going to start this thing, we have to start it in the beginning, because in the beginning was God created. And when God created, he created man. And what he did for man, that man lost in the garden, he lost the authority that God gave him to rule this earth. He lost his authority. And when he did that, God did something too. Man sinned. God brought judgment out. And he gave man his. He gave woman his. Now, I know the serpent is the animal that we say he used, that Satan used, but God wasn't speaking to the serpent. He was speaking to Satan himself. And so here's the first prophecy. In Genesis 3:15, God began to prophesy to Satan, and he told him this. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the seed of the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Right after man sinned, turned his back, rebelled on God, God came into the picture and said this, Satan, you took it, I'm going to take it back, in layman's terms. Amen. So the authority that you think that you have, I've got something for you. The seed of a woman doesn't have seed, so how can that be? But that's all right. We'll get to that. The seed of the woman is going to crush your head. Amen. First prophecy of Jesus. Now, we're going to skip through because, guys, like I say, there are over more than 40 some odd prophecies. We're not going to try to get to all of those today. But that one's talking about what Jesus is going to do and what he's going to bring back, what he's going to do to Satan. There was a prophecy also in Micah. And this prophecy told about where Jesus would be born. He said, oh, Bethlehem, you're only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in distant past, will come from you on my behalf. That prophecy tells where he would be born. And again, what Paul's doing and what he did and what he said is that a foundation will be built on Jesus. So if a foundation is going to be built, God used these scriptures, these prophecies, to build that foundation that Jesus is the one. Amen. Isaiah, I got a few scriptures, so just bear with me. Isaiah 7:14 talks about the virgin birth. It says, therefore the Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. It's through the prophets. He's building his case that Jesus is. And then I love this scripture in Isaiah. I love this scripture in Isaiah. This next one here, it's Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. When we lost Understand, we lost the king's domain on this earth. Well, Isaiah began to prophesy that Jesus was coming back to do something, and that was to bring the government of God back to this earth and put it back in the place with men. But he was going to be the head of it. So in Isaiah 6 and 7, he says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government, amen, and the peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and justice." Oh, wow. We need a little bit of that today, do we not? Amen. "From henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, he will perform this." Amen. So, Isaiah told what he's going to bring back. And like I said, there's so many, we just kind of pulled a few out. So let's get all the way down to the cross. Zechariah 10 and 12. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you what it's about. Zechariah 10 and 12 talks about how Jesus was pierced in his hands and in his feet. Amen. That's our risen Savior. In Psalm 49 and 15, talks about the resurrection. Say, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, and he shall receive me." Amen. Who is this he's going to receive? Jesus Christ. His Christ. Amen. And we want to use one more, just one more witness of the prophets. And that's in Psalm 110 and 1. Guys, David himself, the great King David, was also a prophet. He gave so many prophetic utterances in the Psalms. This one, he says this. He's died. He's risen. Now we're talking about his ascension and where he is right now. And so David began to prophesy and said, "The Lord said unto my Lord." Now, when you're reading the Bible and you see capital letters on words, you know that it's talking about God. But here they brought another distinction into play, because he said this, "The Lord, the first Lord," every letter is capitalized. So that's the greater God. That's God himself. "Said unto my Lord, Jesus, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Guys, we have a job, and that's what God wants to do. And even now, he wants to include us in his plan, and including us in the plan, guess what? He's allowing us to make Satan our footstool. Amen. He wants us to embrace the kingdom so we can put Satan under our feet. All right. So there, we're going from the prophets, and there's a great transition from the prophets to the apostles. And this prophet is John. John the Baptist. He began to preach. He's Jesus' cousin. And he began to preach that repent, to change your mind. Why? Because the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said that it's coming. It's here. It's near. John began to preach this. Amen. And when he preached this, he was preaching about one who was coming. He said, one is coming to do something here. What I like about this transition is that John took it up too. And he began to talk, and he said this, and he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." It was a seamless transition between the prophets and the apostles. Amen. Because here's another transition that happened in that. All right. This transition. Got a little rain. Listen, though. I've did a little bit outside. I've did a little bit in the rain. Amen. Guys, so this is what happened. John preached a message. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus came along to be baptized, under John, and the message he preached after his baptism was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus says something about John, that he was the greatest of all prophets, and what made him the greatest is that John not only prophesied, but John was able to see what he prophesied. No other prophet was able to do that. Only John. So, again, John the Baptist. Now, the Apostle John said that he was the Word, he was with God, and he was God. But in the 14th verse, he said this. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Guys, here's the awesome part about that. Being the only begotten. When Jesus, when God began to talk to Satan at the very beginning, that the seed of the woman would crush his head. If you go back through biblical history, and if you look at the sons of God, in Job, he talked about how the sons of God came and they were to present to God their workings and what is going on. Adam was a son of God. God created him. But this son, Jesus, was something special because he was the only son of God that came through being born of a woman. He was his only begotten. Amen. And now more testimonies of the apostles. In Matthew 16, 13 through 16, he began to talk how Jesus began to ask his apostles, who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And they began to give many different answers. And the answers were anywhere from Elijah to John the Baptist resurrected and just all kind of crazy things. But guys, here's something that's going to help us and what we're going to have to do one day. And that is be able to stand and say that Jesus, you are the Christ. Amen. You've got to say that for yourself. And so Peter began to ask, God began to ask him, his disciples, who do you say that I am? Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Now, I've got one more apostle. And that apostle is the Apostle Paul. Oh, I know the Bible talks about him preaching Christ and Christ crucified. But in Acts, what it said about Paul was this. Acts 28, the 30 and the 31st, 28th chapter, 30 and the 31st verse. He said this, and Paul dwelt 2 years in his own house and received all that came unto him. What was he doing in this house? The 31st verse tells it. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern, the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Amen. Ephesians talked about a foundation that was built on the prophets, and it was also built on the apostles. Well, guys, here it is. This is the foundation, the Word of God, to prove that what God is doing, the working that he's doing, the work that he's doing in us, it is through Jesus Christ. And we are fitly joined together through him. Amen. Keith and I talk about it. We're brothers in Christ. You know, he was praying for me earlier, and he talked about how we are brothers in the kingdom of God. Amen. His mother and my mother aren't the same. My dad and his dad aren't the same. But yet again, my mother and his mother is the same. And my father and his father, they are the same. Amen. Because my Father God, hey, and through his son Jesus, and in this dirt body that came from the earth, we are the same. Amen. And we are man. And so we are fitly joined together through the Spirit of God, through Jesus Christ, and we can reign. A little different from what's going on right now. But we can control our own environment. We have the right. We have the power that Freddie was talking about. Oh, God has given us the authority. He has given us the authority on this earth. And with his power, we have the authority to release his power. Amen. And we operate here. And we're a building that's fitly joined together, Christ being the cornerstone that everything is built off of, you know, and then from there, a building is built and we all fit in our places in this building, and it's in the Spirit of God and through the Spirit of God. Amen. So we are his workmanship. We have power and we have a foundation that is built on Jesus Christ. Amen. And if we'll adhere to that, amen, we have the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Guys, we just thank you for your time. Amen. Thank you for hanging out in the rain with us today. That's all right. See, that's covering up my sweat. But we thank and praise God. And guys, listen, our prayer, honestly and earnestly, is that those who have ears to hear, that you hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church today. If this has touched your heart in any way, shape, form, or fashion, man, don't turn that away. Come and embrace God. Embrace his Spirit. Embrace who he is and what he's done for you and what he's doing for you. We have a God who loves us. Amen. Again, I just want to thank God for the church at Southside. Thank God for each and every one of you. Man, I have enjoyed being here with you guys, just being able to serve. It's been awesome. Just thank you. That's the word I have right now. It's just thank you. And I could go on and on and on, but I'm not. So, guys, we love you. Y'all have a blessed day. Amen.